You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Kā ranga, rangatahi, whakarongo, whakarongo.
We're nā tamatoa, so we must like te ahi. Don't get led astray by Babylon. Kia mō ki tō Māori. There's a lot of people who think they're tough today, but Jesus lights it over, how would have blown them away? To whom he ki, he had spreads to disgust by cutting down the flag. Oh, ha, yo, pake ko Māori in a mata whero. So te kōti exacted it in a slaughter. It's a Māori battalion in a World War II. Staunch on the battlefield, they've had many clues. Like Moana, nutty move from hill to a nine. Victoria Cross, so true, so strong. This Māori was a fierce warrior. Strike fear in the hearts of Babylon soldier. Yeah, it's true, yeah, it's true. That's why I'm talking to you. Kia kaha, 2-1-2-2. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Yes, the man who tried to kill him, what, Fontaine Ski. But he became a victim of his own folly. Cause T took a word of him to smash, you see. Guerrilla warfare, ha, Māori. The British tried to take a part, they thought it'd be a victory. Kakawiki had fooled the enemy. The British raided the pie, yeah, but they got shot down. Cause Kakawiki had a plan, and it was sound. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Te rangi haiata believes in holding the land against the foe, yo, the British man. To him that's essential to the manner of the chief. In the hut, there was some hardcore feats. In 1846, in the Hutt Valley, I see fighting broke out between the British and the Māori. And more than one settler on disputed land was killed when the Māori fought the British plan. Cause white rule and justice go hand in hand. So against that is where we stand. Yo, don't forget those who fought before. Our struggle continues more and more. Yeah, it's a struggle, it's a struggle. System's got us in a muddle. So strive to get out of this puddle. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Air 2, stand proud. Kia kaha, say it loud. Say it loud.
So in the late 80s, New Zealand was a very different place. Music was in a very different place. We've come a long way since then. And when Upper Hutt Posse popped onto the scene, it was a breath of fresh air. On the line, Death Harpeter, Dean Harpeter, how are you, mate?
Kia ora, Iho. Head to play.
Nice to talk to you after all these years. Dean, haven't spoken to you for a long time. Congratulations, too. The Upper Hutt Posse going to receive Tohu Whakareretanga, the Legacy Award at the Vodafone New Zealand Music Awards. That's pretty cool, man. Did you ever think that might happen?
Well, you know what? Not from the start, because it was in the Hall of Fame in, back in 1988 when we bought out here too.
Yeah.
But when I did hear about this Hall of Fame that came about in 2007, I thought,
hurry up.
Maybe if we'll get in that. Because I think they can't kind of overlook us because we brought out the first rap song, and rap music now is such a big deal.
How about that, eh? That's what I want to ask. I've got this amazing. I don't know if you've seen this. A magazine at home from years ago called New Zealand Breakdancing. I think it was a one-off magazine, and it was called, and it's all about, you know, when breakdancing was called bopping, and when the rap music was just sort of, and that sort of music, electronic music was just starting up. And you guys were really genuinely at the forefront of that in New Zealand, it came from a really interesting place. Where do you see that music came from as far as what was it that inspired you guys to become Up Up Posse and to do what you did, you know, and to stand there and rap with a DJ for a start, which was pretty unique at the time?
Well, it came from, you know, a knowledge of Rapper's Delight, which came out around in 1980. And yes, of course, the breaking, which I got heavily involved in 83. It was at the first battle against Wellington versus Auckland in 83 at the YMCA there. So right through that, and then just listening to the music at that time, which wasn't really those beats from James Brown records. It was an electronica, electro-type beats of Planet Rock.
Rocksteady Crew and stuff like that.
Yeah, that was another tune.
Yeah,
Malcolm McLaren, Buffalo Girls.
Yeah, cool.
Those tunes, so I was heavily influenced by those, and Houdini, with their rapping in there, of course. So, but...
In
85, breakdancing suffered a bit of ignoble demise. People started saying that to be a breaker or do some popping, body popping. We always called it body popping in Wellington, never bop.
Oh, really?
Some Auckland
I thought bop was a dumb name for it, but that was so Auckland, you're right, yeah.
The
reason I asked, because the magazine I've got at home, it really goes into quite a bit of detail about how young Maori in New Zealand a lot who had been like there was a lot more of a there was starting to become a thing called the urban Maori. You know, I mean, a lot of people who are moving away from the marae and moving away from traditionally where they're living, that sort of thing, and were getting quite disconnected and had nothing to do, you know, and they had no sort of way to gather together and do stuff. And it sort of infers that this was a culture that grew out of the urban Maori sort of spread, and that it actually was a really great thing for bringing young Maori together, you know?
It was
really brown, wasn't it? It was a really brown thing to do back in those days.
Yep, but no, there's also Taika people were there as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, confined.
No.
But hey, was this magazine called Street Action?
Yeah, maybe it might be the one, yeah.
It must be the one, Street Action. Yeah, you might spot a couple of photos of me in there.
But
the final in Manners Mall. It was a mall then.
Sorry, the final, did you say? Oh,
yeah. Woo! The final, you know, spin on, carry around vinyl, spin on the... Put it down and have a battle. Just like that, on the street, unorganised.
Cardboard, chuck your cardboard and your vinyl down. Hey, so when you sort of formed Up Up Posse, it was confronting in the way that it was. You guys were really militant. I remember the first time I met you, I think we were talking about each other's bands, and you sort of said to me, "What are you guys doing for your? What are you doing for your people?" Sort of thing, and I found that quite confronting. I was like, "Well, that's what we're supposed to be doing." And I was quite impressed with the political attitude that you guys had towards it. Was that from the very start, or did that something that you grew into?
From the start,
Ehor. Yeah.
And that sounds like something I would have said. But also, let me just take back about your earlier comment about, yes, breaking was something that brown people, not just Māori, but Samoan Tongan, took to, because, man, it allowed us to express ourselves, and we saw those people in Rocksteady Crew, etc., in the US, and, man, they looked just like us. So we're thinking, hey, and we loved how they had made this dance and made this music themselves. At a point where if you wanted to be in a school band, I don't know, it was just, you just weren't in school bands. They were nerdy things.
Yeah.
Just deal with it.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Yeah.
But I'd left school by 83, and we were on the street, hanging out, kicking around, having fun, and, man, hip-hop came along in such a great way. It was just magic, really.
For people who don't know, though, you guys, like I say, you know, you guys came out with some pretty strong lyrics, and that, I guess, caught the attention of the Nation of Islam over in the United States of America. You're invited over there, and of course, striking up a relationship with Public Enemy, one of the great political hip hop acts.
You're getting ahead of me every time you're asking a question, because I want to go back to what you said earlier. Yes, I've been politically minded since I was around 8-9 years old. So when rap music moved on politically from Rapper's Delight, yeah, and I heard the message, I was like, hey, this gives me this is where I can express those views musically, because I always loved music and fancied myself a bit of a singer, but I was just too shy. But yeah,
so, were you shy?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, I was just too shy. Oh, to sing in front of somebody when I was like, you know, 10, yeah, just young, it would have horrified me. Although I was in the Upper Hutt Boys Choir, but that was with a, you know, that was with a group. But I was embarrassed to be in that group, because we were singing Michael Row Your Boat Ashore and singing an old folk
cool song. Songs like that. So yeah. What? How come the shy guy that was in the choir was suddenly able to be so delightfully uppity and in everybody's face about stuff that they needed to hear about? How did that happen?
I give it all up for hip-hop, for providing the musical platform, rap music, and I was capable of making that music, but also reggae. You know, we formed as a four-piece reggae band.
I was going to say, Upper Hutt Boys, you're very reggae-influenced, weren't you?
Yeah. But here's how the thing with Nation of Islam, the invite to Detroit, came about. Rasul Muhammadan, who is one of the sons of the founder of the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad, he came over here in 1990 to really just make a connection with Māori people, following on from one of their earlier representatives of the black Muslims who had come here. And he came to a gig of ours. Well, he was at, I guess it's a long story, but let me shorten it. He came to Waitangi to see us perform, and he spoke there as well. But the organisers, after they heard him speak, they thought, hell, we're not putting up a posse on after this guy. So they rushed on a group, a cultural group, which sort of just mellowed it all out. But a few weeks after that, we had a gig at the Glue Pot, and he came along and seen it, and he straight after our gig, he rushed backstage and was like, you have to come to Detroit. I want you to come to Detroit. The people need to hear you. They need to hear your music. Will you come? He put me on the spot right there and then, and I
said, yes, I will come, yes.
I'd always wanted to get to the US, and especially a place like Detroit, yeah, you know, O-Town, yeah, you know, everything. And so he says, no, I tried to avoid answering, but couldn't get away from it. And then he says, will you come? I need to know right now.
That's a pretty amazing thing to have done for a young political rapper from political hip hop group from New Zealand at that stage in your career, isn't it?
Oh yeah, and just in the stage of people hadn't been over there before, rappers. People weren't thinking, and that was.
But it must have been nice to have someone from in a situation like that understand the message that you were trying to get across in your band in New Zealand. You know what I mean? I think it's really cool. What about when you came back? Did you ever get this? You know, once you got that out of the way, once you'd opened for Public Enemy and done all that stuff, was there any pressure for you to? I know that you've never bowed to this pressure, but were there people saying to you, stop being so political, man? You guys have got good beats. You guys have got good sounds. Maybe you should do something a bit more commercial.
No, no one said anything of that nature to me. I think they would have just known as a waste of time. But we did do commercial songs, and it had always been the intention to do commercial songs, commercial-sounding songs, should I say. I mean, Air 2 could be commercial. Any song can be commercial. It depends if people buy the record. But we did. Rugged Gill came out in 1992, which is.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, Rugged Gill was pretty commercial, eh? But not commercial, yeah.
No, that was commercial. That song should have been in the top 10 easily. But because of chart rigging, et cetera, which went on in that period, probably goes on to this day, no doubt, it didn't get anywhere. And I think it didn't get anywhere in the charts because it had the name Apart Posse, and probably particularly me, attached to it. And I'm convinced of this because Southside Records, there's a song out by a group at that time, and they sold roughly the same amount of records as us. And look, they were in the charts for like half a year or so.
Let me ask you this, Dean. Are they being welcomed into the New Zealand Music Hall of Fame and receiving the Legacy Award at the Vodafone Music Awards this year?
No.
Boom. How about that? hey, Dean, it's a massive. You must be stoked about this. It's a massive honour to even so long after the band was formed, to be sort of acknowledged this way and by the whole of the New Zealand music industry. Are you still writing music? You're still caring about the same things? Do you still are you still anti-establishment, Dean? I'm asking you that. Are you still going against the flow?
Yes, the struggle continues. A luta continua, ka whawhai tonu mātou. But let me just say about the award. Yes, it does feel wonderful, but the radical in me wants to say, F it.
I was just about to say, I can't wait for your speech. But but you can't say that. You can't say that because it's from people who care, it's not from... It's not from a magazine. It's not from a. It's not a chart. Yeah. It's actually a long time of people considering the importance of what you've done and what that group has done. From when you formed to now. I think you should be proud as can be about that, Dean.
Say that activism continues because the nonsense on the planet continues.
Oh, heart out. That's what I was asking. Yeah.
Let's look at this idiot in the White House, this skirt chaser, this womanizer.
the poor little man who only gets 3 hours sleep a night and can't think.
Well, he can't think, that.
Yeah. No, you're right, though. I mean, that this is the thing. My last question for you was this. Is there still room for political hip-hop?
Yes, and let's look at Brazil right now. We've got some...
Yeah, that's freaky, isn't it?
...lunatic over there, threatening to take the country back to military rule. Oh, man, the world, there's so much for people to comment on, and this country's always been, especially, even rappers, music in total has been lackluster, so we say, in terms of addressing the world's ills.
My favorite hip hop is some of my favorite hip hop is the really good political stuff, and I agree with you there. I think that needs to be more of it, and the stuff that Public Enemy and Fundamental and you guys were doing was awesome. I wish you all the very best, Dean Harpeter, and I can't and congratulations for receiving this award and for your whole career, and look forward to hearing new stuff from you.
Yes, new stuff will be coming. But hey, I just got to say that I'm writing a book at the moment, and that does sort of get in the weight of things.
Just take your sweet time. Hey, I'm going to play a track that you want us to play called Fuck the Status Quo from Apart Posse. Congratulations, man. All the best to you.
Big up. Peace.
Understand, cause the others consecrate walls of personalities, mentalities, rocking music, come ultimately succeed. Disheartenment, a lack of belief in self, enlightenment, the strength to know. Fuck the status quo. Fuck the status quo. You got to know. Fuck the status quo. Keep it in there, keep it in there.
A 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.